SF Signal episode 33, panel show where I ask, is the standalone novel dead? This is the SF Signal podcast as powered by the Functional Nerds. My name is Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And tonight I have conned four people who are involved with SF Signal to come onto the podcast and talk to me. That's my power. That's my magic power. Let's go down the list and say hello to some folks. We'll start off where we usually end off. Hi, John.
Hello. John D. here, head honcho at SF Signal. Glad to be here.
Hi, Fred.
Hi there, and he conned me into appearing on the show because he holds the secret power to cloud men's minds.
Thanks for coming on, Fred. Lisa.
Hello, happy to be here.
I like your book trailer.
Thank you very much.
Is that linked anywhere? It's on SF Signal, obviously. Do you also have that
it
on
is.
Danger Gal?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
LisaPateSpindler.com.
Awesome. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I'm currently held captive in Patrick's basement.
Yeah, but you're not alone, so at least you're having some fun.
No, I'm not, so it's not too bad. It's warm.
It's not. So let's just jump into the topic this week. This came actually from the SF Signal Irregulars. You guys hit me with some different topics, and this was one of the ones that kind of stood out. Is the standalone novel dead? What do you think, Jeff?
Well, my answer is no, and the two bits of evidence that I put forth is the fact that I'm looking at the Hugo Best Novel nominees for the past 10 years, and you got to go back to 2006 before you get to a year where more than one novel was part of a series that were nominated. And even then, I don't see more than that until you get back to 2002. There's a lot of buzz for a lot of standalone books. People are still talking about, Blindsight. It just got, one of the 10 best on some other science fiction website that I won't mention. And a lot of the real big heavy-duty blockbusters that have come out that have, had, pretty serious, hardcover editions and stuff like that have been standalone books. Whether or not they will remain standalone books in the years to come is a separate story.
I would first like to apologize to the listeners. I had no idea that Jeff Patterson was a trader and reading other science fiction blogs and websites. So I do apologize for that.
It's okay.
Fred, what do you think?
I don't think it's dead, but I think every author would like to either plant the seed that a standalone can be expanded, or that they can then jump from a standalone that makes their name into a series. I'm looking at the bookshelves now, and between DiNardo and Neilio and Hester, I've got three trilogies that I have to read because they made them sound so good, either in podcasts or reviews, that I immediately went out and ordered them all.
And that's why you had to get that second job, was to pay for all these extra books.
That's true. Standalone or trilogy or series or whatever, as long as the quality remains good, I'm happy. I mean, I love Arthur C. Clarke for putting more ideas into a single volume than anybody else can in a 10 volume set. And I love 10 volume sets because I love seeing my favorite characters come back. But if the quality goes down either side, I'm not going to read it anymore.
Lisa, we're obviously you've got a book coming out, and we're hoping that that's going to be the first in a series of 500. What's your take on this?
It is. I am working on book number two right now.
Awesome.
As you speak. No, I don't think the standalone novel is dead. I think just there are just as many readers who love to see their characters recurring and revisiting them again in a series. There are just as many other readers who don't want to have to catch up and come in, in the middle of a series and have six books to read. So I think there's enough room for everybody.
John?
I think the answer is no, pretty much for all the reasons already mentioned. I mean, people like standalone, they're still being published. People like reading them. People like buying them. People like reading series too. Authors like series. It's, an established universe. Maintaining readership is nice, but usually readerships tend to trail off as the series progresses. But so I think there's room for both, and there always has been, and there always will be.
McCannon authors survive writing standalone novels.
Sure, why not?
Well, can we address a semantic point here?
Sure.
The definition of series has certainly changed in years. You get something like Ian M. Banks, who will write a series that takes place in the same common galaxy, but are not necessarily sequential. I mean, it could be said that Matter was certainly a standalone book. And we've seen a lot more of that in the past few years as well, where people will come up with a universe and then set a number of novels there without them necessarily being connected.
If there are no threads of connection, then I think that it qualifies as a standalone novel. But if it's something like, you know, Scalzi writing Old Man's War and then following it up with Ghost Brigade and having the same characters cross over, and then, you know, another character showing up in what's the third one, John? Zoe's Tale?
Is on Zoe's Tale?
Zoe's yeah. Tale. So again, you have the same characters showing up, then you're definitely in a series. But if it's a universe where someone is just writing stories in that universe and the same characters aren't appearing and there's not that thread between them, and you don't have to read this one to know what this one's going on, I don't think that's a series.
Yeah, the going back to Ian Banks's culture, there's world building that he's leveraging. You know, it may not be a, you know, proper series as people tend to think of it, but there is some economy of savings there with regards to world building, I think.
Oh, I would agree with you there.
So choose your definition, you know, either one. If the answer is different, let us know.
Well, and Jeff, what do you think? I mean, as far as, you know, this blockbuster series or model for genre fiction, is that unsustainable given today's book market and book buying market?
And well, not for Stephen King.
Well, sure,
he's fine.
Sure, but what about, you know, what about Lisa coming into the market?
Well, it depends on what she does. I mean, it's
Lisa's like, wait, I got to talk about that.
Well, I tend to think in more than one story pieces anyway. So even when I'm working with my critique partner, I'm always like, hey, you could do a sequel with that, you know. And so that's just how my mind works. I do happen to read a lot of series. So I think it just depends on what your interests are. What kind of writer are you? What kind of reader are you?
And see, I am a series reader. I like to look for things that have sequels.
Yeah, I tend to actually like the ones that aren't that. Some of the ones I've really enjoyed are ones that where it's just a spin. It's the same universe, but there might be some loose connection. That is almost the best of both worlds because it feels brand new. You don't have someone who maybe missed the first novel, doesn't have a big learning curve to deal with. And yet at the same time, for the readers who did read the first book, they still can get that little in with it. So I think that's interesting when writers do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but if you take a book like Anathem or a book like Kraken or something like that, I mean, those are books that you really can't do much more with. And those books did very well. You know, they and there's several other examples. Hull 03 by Greg Bear was almost a perfect standalone book. I mean, it certainly wasn't one of my favorites that he's written, but I think when it comes to really getting to the end of a story, and yes, he could write a sequel to it, but if he didn't, it works just fine. And that book did very well.
Hmm. Fred, you've been a little bit quiet.
Well, I was waiting for the next question about Stargate Universe. But,
Seriously, you know, do you think that it's unsustainable in today's market to do these long series, or do you think that the author can survive with standalone novels?
Well, some of these series survive the death of the author.
Sure, and we've talked about that before.
Right. I mean, I think that it can survive, but at some point, you start seeing decreasing returns. I mean, if you look at Tobias Buckell at the start of the series and did, what, two or three installments? And then the publisher said, well, you know, we're not going to, you know, go somewhere else because the next one just ain't going to fly.
Sure.
But you know, other authors, David Weber seems to be able to reinvent himself. He's spun off Honor Harrington into a couple of sub-series and brought in some collaborators, and you know, that kind of helps breathe life into it every now and then. Yeah, I think just maybe because television has been around a lot longer, people just expect to return to their favorite characters season after season.
Well, also, it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a dangerous assumption, but we're sort of clumping everyone into an industry here. And though I don't deny it exists, you take an author like Robert Charles Wilson, who, you know, aside from Spin and Axis, his books tend to be very well-crafted standalones and seem to be, you know, built precisely for that reason. You know, you look at something like Julian Comstock, which is just, you know, it's sweeping and epic, and it's got a great, you know, great American novel feel to it, and that seems to be where he's more comfortable. I think if he tried to do something along the lines of a prolonged a sequence of books, it might, whether it's a comfort, pardon me, whether it's a comfort level or not, it might diminish his work somehow.
I think you've got, for me at least, two things going. I go to a series for, I'm not going to say like snack food, but most of the series I read are more for fun. I go for individual books, standalone books, for what you've just pretty much said. I mean, Arthur C. Clarke didn't really, other than Rama in 2001, write any series, but he turned out many great standalone novels.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this, and we'll start with you, Fred. What was the last standalone novel that you really enjoyed?
Well, we just actually, it was mentioned a little earlier, the Neal Stephenson, Anathem.
Okay, Jeff?
Hold on, I got to check my list here. I'm trying to...
See, I'm not in front of my computer, so he's at an advantage.
John, while Jeff's looking that up, what's the last standalone you liked?
So I went back and looked this up. I actually got the last six standalone novels I read that I enjoyed. I had to go back. I had to go back all the way back to like 2009 to get these six. But The Dream of Perpetual Motion by Dexter Palmer was very good. Under the Dome by Stephen King. House of Suns by Alastair Reynolds. Genesis by Bernard Beckett. The Accord by Keith Brook. And The Repossession Mambo by Eric Garcia. I thoroughly enjoyed all those.
Jeff, did you find yours?
Yeah, I'd have to go with The Yiddish Policeman's Union. And before that, probably Hull 03. And then back to that, I go to Julian Comstock.
Okay. Lisa, I'm putting you on the spot here. What was the last standalone you liked?
Agent of the Stars, John Scalzi.
Scalzi. All right. Well, I'm also going to put it out there to our listeners. You know, call us. Let us know what was the last standalone novel that you really enjoyed. Any follow-up thoughts, Lisa?
No, not really. Just that there's so many books out there in so little time.
Yeah, that's Fred's line, isn't it, Fred?
Yeah, I've heard it somewhere before.
Do you have any follow-up or last-minute thoughts here?
And there's so many ex-lovers to bury.
Jeff?
Yeah, I know in comic book fandom, there are people that read superhero comics and the people that read like Vertigo and other comics that look down on the people that read superhero comics. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually wondering if there are people that read standalone novels exclusively who look down upon people who read series.
Maybe.
If so, please call in.
Standalone snobs.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, just like there are people who use computers every day and they have Windows on them, and then there's the smart ones who use the Apple computers. And
white.
I'm sorry. Did this become an Apple commercial? When did this become an Apple commercial?
This has been a long running Apple commercial.
I thought this was along the lines of that no barbecue rule.
No, but you know,
OS's.
Before I say something, John, did you have any last minute thoughts?
No, I don't think I think it's No.
I had to go to a convention for the day job, and I was in a social media class with someone from work who really wanted to see the social media class. And the guy who's teaching the social media class stands up there and he says, the do's and don'ts of Facebook. Do not, he says, he looks at the class and he says, Palin Pelosi, I have just pissed off half the room with those two names. He says, do not on Facebook talk about politics or religion. And I raised my hand and I said, or barbecue. And he said, barbecue? And I said, yes, those are the three most polarizing topics in America, religion, politics, and barbecue. And the whole room laughed. So I think we're going to call that an episode. I want to thank you guys for coming on. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Do you want to pimp your website?
Of course, lisapatespindler.com. And my first book comes out March 28th.
Very cool. Jeff, thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to pimp a website? I don't know if you ever do.
BadDayStudio.com. My blog is Gravity Lens.
And Fred has, of course, The Lensman's Children. Do you want to pimp that website, Fred?
Yeah, I just need to find time to write something original and stunning again. My soul is being drained out of my fingers by my now full-time job.
Oh, boy. Well, congratulations on that, though. That's good. John, yeah. SFSignal.com, right?
SFSignal.com. Thanks for listening, folks.
Never heard of it.
Here we go. Thanks, guys. And it's your chance to join in on the conversation. We want to know, is the standalone novel dead? And what was the last standalone novel that you enjoyed? As always, you can comment on the post, or you can give us a call on our voicemail line. That's 720-277-9082. If you do go to the website, sfsignal.com, and you click on one of our post links, there is a flash widget there that you can just plug in your number, and then Google will call you and save you a dime on the call. If you did enjoy this podcast and any of our other podcasts, we do appreciate that. And we ask you to tell a friend or two. Help us build some listenership. You can also go to our page on iTunes, give us a couple stars, or write us a review. All of these things help us to gain more listeners, which is what we're trying to do. Later on this week, our interview with Christine Catherine Rush is going up. So you want to check that out. That'll be on Thursday. Thanks again, and we will see you next week.